Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Go!
Welcome back, everyone, to Joycast. Sorry for teasing y'all 2 weeks ago saying that we do like a monthly manga check-in and then didn't show up. Val, you got super busy. I got super busy. You were doing production stuff. I finally closed on that damn house. I was also camping. Oh, you're camping too.
Yeah.
Lucky dog.
It was a good time. It wasn't nearly as in touch with nature camping as I was hoping.
Never is.
Well, one of my friends is disabled. He only has one leg, so he can't really go on like the nature trails or anything. So we ended up visiting Windermere and getting meals and stuff. We still like camped out in like a field and everything like that. Played cricket, softball cricket, tossed around a rugby ball, drank, smoked, played music. Had a pretty damn good time. I enjoyed it.
That's nice.
Yeah, but obviously like I had a nature head on though. I really wanted to just do like the nature trails and stuff, but you can't get everything you want.
Right, yeah, on my end, it was just finally signing all the paperwork, the house is officially mine, changing addresses, a lot of administrative stuff, and basically I'm crunching on World Heroes Mission to Bridge right now, because this is my smoke 'em if you got 'em day, because
nice.
Starting this weekend, it's me just tearing out carpet and walls and painting and stuff. It's
soft.
All handiwork now. It's all the grunt work now, but at
soft
least it's something
demolition.
That's in
control. Hell yeah.
A little tiny bit demolition, not too much.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's pretty much what soft strip demolition is, my man.
Yeah.
Like,
still planning to be in the house by the end of August, so.
That was all the stuff that I was doing and, like, the laboring and stuff, only I was also taking down, like, walls and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It's a pretty fun time, but... Oh boy, dude, make sure you keep the windows open and everything when you're, like, tearing things down and stuff, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and, well, how old is the house? Actually, you know, no. I was about to say, like, make sure, like, you're being careful.
Yeah, I don't need people,
like,
looking up a house engine with the
Well, I was gonna say, you need to be careful of... You need to be careful of, asbestos, but
yes,
I had inspector go through
and like I said, I'm there for the tear out. There's only things I'm allowed to touch. I have a professional doing that, so
yeah.
Don't worry. He knows what he's doing.
Fair. Good to know. Even though I believe it's a day late actually, but it was actually Lackadaisy Tracy's birthday the other day.
Yes.
And speaking of Lackadaisy, we hit $1 million on funding for
the
Lackadaisy Cats season one. So that's going to be
a
full 5-episode season.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah. Did it within a week, too, which is...
Now, you're on production, so you can't say, but I'm going to start placing bets on how quickly for Amazon or fucking Netflix picks it up now that it's already been funded.
I believe the plan is, like, they've talked about it, that they want to go completely independent. As much as they can. Because
they all
they
want
don't...
to, and yeah, we won't dig into that because I don't want to.
I don't want to
scare off any business for them. But just like I've seen this happen a million times, just cross your fingers that if that happens, that you don't get your ass fucking replaced. Because those fucking streamers are fucking ruthless.
Nah, I know what you mean. It's they've been very open that they would like to keep everyone together as much as possible.
Oh yeah, so I trust Tracy and all of them. Like say everyone, all these productions, they want to keep their boys.
Yeah.
But when Netflix and Amazon take over, they start having ideas, and you can't really fucking stop them.
Yeah, like I remember having a similar worry at one point. What with things like Has Been Hotel, for example. You know, small. Pilot like became massive, obviously got taken over by more Hollywood types and everything. I'm not gonna get into it because I don't know the ins and outs of that thing, but like the amount of voice actors that got entirely replaced in that, like for example Michael Kovac, no longer the voice of, I mean he'll be the voice of Angel Dust for a lot of people forever probably because that was a role that he did marvelously on, but whatever happens with that season, whenever that does come out, is up in the air, obviously. Or the actor, I don't know. So that was definitely a worry at one point, but we'll see how it goes. For now, I am enjoying the success right now.
And you should. Like, all of you should be so fucking happy and proud. Like,
yeah.
And I told you, because you said Tracy was getting a little worried when that episode came out. I said, weekends on YouTube are always slow. Give it a moment, it'll start hitting its mills, and then it'll springboard off, because people like that shit. It's difficult. Like, doing original things is so difficult on YouTube, but when you got the right crew involved and they have all the right actors, the right artists, just people who are ready to promo it, you got the right people involved, and it had a spring roll. Like, people could smell passion, man.
It is
a beautiful smell. It's a strong smell.
Lackadaisy's definitely got the right people.
Across the board.
Like, I don't think I talked about it much, but when I did go to America, LA, for the mixer and everything, it was just so amazing to meet a bunch of people who took part in Lackadaisy. And I even met the director of The Legend of Pee-Pee, who also worked on
Lackadaisy. Wait, director Pee-Pee was there? You didn't even tell me about that.
Oh, no. Julia was there, the director and creator of The Legend of Pee-Pee. And the co-director, who I'm actually working with on an animation... Well, I've done my part for the animation. I'm just waiting for it to come out at this point. They co-directed Pee-Pee. They were supposed to be there, but they sadly were quite ill, so they didn't end up turning up, which is quite sad, because I really enjoy talking to all the people that I've met and, like, you know, the directorial stuff for these CalArts or these student films, these, like, really high-end...
I know you're so
opinion,
passionate about that, and I'm again, you are the good... And this needs to be fucking stated.
I thought you're gonna, you are the furry voice actor.
No, you're not just the furry voice actor. For indie animation, I hope people are realizing that you're a good luck charm. I hope they realize that products that you are in do very fucking well.
I kind of worry that it's the other way around. Maybe I just have very good taste in projects. I mean, it's why I jumped on the Joyride My Hero Academia bridge.
Right, and fucking Spy's Family bridge. Like, exactly. Again, like, you look at anything, any Joyride product that breaks a milli, you're in it. You're there. you have a major role in. So,
but no, I you are right. I am super passionate about the indie animation or the student animation scene, because, like, I don't know if I've mentioned it, but, like, YouTube for me as a kid and teenager was pretty much just watching people's animations posted on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, see, I'm a
bit
older than you, so for me it was Newgrounds.
Same. Newgrounds was that for me for sure, but then I, like, got into YouTube, and over time, like, in the 20-teens, for example, when Goblins, like, started uploading all of their stuff in like, you know, the late 2000s, that I was just, every year, it'd be like, oh, it's that time of year. God damn dog. I'm trying to
The dog had something to say about that.
The dog always has something to say.
Speaking of dogs, Pippin, Stina's dog, poor guy. He had a 2-for-1 deal at the dog tour.
Oh, no.
Yesterday.
What happened?
He was there. They had to put him under for teeth clean. That was just standard. But he also had a couple of little bumps that had to be removed. And oh my god, he was faded after. He was faded, and then last night, so, like, we let him sleep, and we went to go see a movie. We saw the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I thought it was gonna be
fucking
Barbie.
Excellent, by the way. You'd love it, Val. You would love it. You should see it.
I am planning on going to see it very soon, actually.
Because
my friend, you know, I mentioned Adam, was, like, surprisingly not interested, even though he quite likes them. As the trailers came out, I think he's become more interested, so we're going to go see that at some point.
Yep. So we came back.
Did you do the Barbie
the...
Oppenheimer duo, by the way? I bet you did.
I did Barbenheimer as well. They were all excellent.
Yeah.
These past couple weeks have been fucking excellent. Even Mission Impossible is getting fucking buried right now. That was also very good. So I've seen four great movies in a row.
I guess I heard the new Mission Impossible is really good. I didn't hear that it was, like, successful.
It bombed because whoever decided to air, like, days before Barbenheimer is a fucking jackass.
They thought
Tom Cruise was too strong, but the Feetons weren't.
It is crazy, the power of... Actually, it's made a $4.2 billion at the box office, apparently. And that's Google, I don't
that's,
know.
That's global, though. Like, they only listen to the domestic. You know
you're right. Yeah,
same like Japan. People don't care about domestic.
It broke the billion, it seems, and like the domestic. Oh wait, no, that's the budget. I'm an idiot. Actually, no, it's kind of weird, actually, because it's saying 4.2 million and then captions seven films.
But getting back to Pippin, though, we came back from the movie.
Franchise! I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, we came back from the movie, and Pippin was, like, miserable. He's got his cone, and the cone says under construction on it. And he's just going, ooh.
Well, that's what happened.
This morning, he's just sitting on the couch, he just looks at me, just... He's just like, what have you done to me?
I'm tired, man. I'm tired, boss. Dude, that's just it. Dogs, they don't do well after drugs. It tuckers them out. It fucks them up.
He was better the first time, but this time, you know, because he's getting a little
older now. Sorry, now she wants to fucking get out. God damn it, dog. You're joining me for the podcast, and then you want to leave midway? Go on, get out of here. Never come back.
Out with the beast. But yeah, we've been seeing some good animation, some good movies. We should talk about some really good manga this week. Val, want to start with My Hero Academia?
Jinx, padlock, throw the key. You're not allowed to talk unless I'm not going to finish that, because then I don't know your full name. I know the last name. I don't know if you have a middle name.
Who?
Your name. Your middle name.
Right? Yeah, so 396. Dude, was there a bad panel here?
I'm trying to think. All for One looked a bit fucking insane.
I mean, that's the point. Like, look at how the way he draws the fucking, the blood vessels in his fucking head. Like, they're shooting like a lightning bolt. Like, he's just, like, fucking pissed.
I mean, it's the first time I've been, like, interested in All for One because he is so pissed off, it seems. And he even says it himself, that, like, All Might is seemingly the only person that, like, tilts
him.
And
yeah,
it's cool.
It, like, just lives in his head rent-free. And it's fun to see him bothered.
That's what I thought.
They're like, oh, this fight's gonna be one-sided. But All for One, it has nothing to do about how the fight goes. The fact that All Might has the fucking audacity to stand there and smile.
I was gonna say, I think it's very cool.
My favorite panel is when the suits come together, and at the very end, you have Nana smiling, and you just see his face like, fuck you!
You can
still see
my smile, can't you?
Yeah, oh my god, this is a goated moment for the series. I'm so happy.
Oh yeah, dude, it's like when Bruce Wayne comes in that episode where Terry McGinnis gets captured in Batman Beyond. And he's getting, like, his shit kicked him, then he pulls up
the
Batsuit.
Yeah, it's absolutely
the
Batmac.
Yeah, it's so cool, and
people are saying it's the Iron Man suitcase, but it's more like the fucking Batmac.
You know what? It is quite reminiscent of, it's very reminiscent of the old Iron Man cartoon with the suitcase that he'd, like, place on his chest
and everything.
Well,
Iron Man 2 specifically, because Horikoshi is a huge Iron Man fan.
Yeah. You remember the cartoon, don't you? You know the whole, I am Iron Man.
I know you're talking about. I was going back to like the fucking 1960s, but yes, the I am Iron Man. A week on Toon Disney. Yeah, we all know
that one. I had that on videotape when I was a kid, and I would rewatch it all the time. So I was getting major flashbacks to that and everything. But you are right; it's very reminiscent of the Iron Man 2 transformation, isn't it?
It's a dead-on reference. He loves that shit.
Where I feel like his suits, like the first Iron Man 1 and 2, where the suits are actually, like, practical to some degree, and then layered with CGI, was honestly the best look for the Iron Man suits.
Oh yeah, anything that's more practical, I fucking love.
But, I'm sure you picked up on this, this fight is very much like when Midoriya fought Bakugo for the first time with the analyzation, and because these two, well, they've obviously had this, like, long history of fighting one another, and All Might basically calls him out on, like, this is how you start your attacks every time.
Well,
like, a certain point.
He's fighting, like, Deku now. He's inspired by Deku.
He's inspired by everyone. He's taking bits of, like, the people, because he mentions Sugar Man at one point.
I know he mentions Sero.
I'm sure you love it, but, like, head on, she's there, it's Melissa.
Yes, they finally, in the mainline series, they finally acknowledge her.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh my god.
I was like, damn.
Ivan's fucking eating today.
All my favorite things.
It's everything here. It's everything you wanted. Also, I was thinking a lot about My Hero Academia's beginnings, because there's the bit where the policeman, Tsukaichi, or whatever
yeah, the
his
police,
name is.
Yeah.
Best friend, All Might's best friend, as he calls him.
They were good roommates, yes.
it's the bit where it's like, oh, this is like one-sided. No matter how much support items you have, you're not gonna beat him. And it makes me think about the origins of My Hero Academia with Jack, you know, the original Midoriya.
When's Jack gonna show up? Come on. You know he is.
And it makes me wonder, like, could this have been Midoriya's final thing if he stuck with the idea of a hero who was just a normal guy and just Batmaning it, essentially?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I want to get to. It's the fact that, oh my god, All Might completely shitting on the original concept of how Deku could have beat the shit out of the main villain without a quirk. Like,
yeah.
This is All Might's doing the My Hero Academia that everyone thought they were gonna get from the very beginning, and a lot of people deeply still wanted.
Yeah, no, exactly. And sorry, I was actually just like gorming over how like good the panel looks, where he's like running up and he's got those floating shields and everything as he's rushing towards All For One. Like, you are right. I don't think there is like a bad panel in this. And All For One being at his most expressive really just, like, adds to the impact of
the most expressive in a long time. Like,
yeah. It's fucking peak, actually. This is like,
yeah, you know what? You're right. This is a peak moment for the series.
Yeah, like, I'm not downplaying it. Like, I remember you were saying, like, people want to see the All Might fight. This is... It was worth it. It was worth the wait. We wanted to see the All Might fight. We knew it was gonna be fucking sick, and it is. It's really freaking good thus far. Like, holy fucking shit. I love the whole thing where it's like, because it must be like pissing All For One off to some degree. Like, him using, like, you know, Black Whip and stuff, or at least saying he's using it as if he's still got it, but obviously, like, All For One isn't really... I mean, it's confusing because, bloody hell, what's his name? Main villain, Hans. Shigaraki.
Oh, Shigaraki.
Shigaraki is aware of the stuff that Deku has, but All For One, like, main body All For One kind of is or isn't. So would that be pissing him off, you think? That, like, All Might is still acting like he's got that power?
Oh, absolutely. Well, but again, why All Might's doing the thing that everyone wished Izuku did is All Might is capitalizing on the fact that he doesn't have a quirk. Like, he's defeating All For One purely on the merit that All For One is only prepared to fight people with quirks. He does not see people who are quirkless and does not... He doesn't even know what to do.
Yeah.
He's banking on this. I'm on a panel right now. His blood vessels are fucking bursting. I'm literally going to see. It's the why are you smiling? His blood vessels are literally exploding and blood is shooting out. This is fucking sick.
Where is that? Why are you? Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
He's so upset.
This is great.
Again, every panel is so fucking good in this.
I mean, he's not really on the back foot, but it's like, it must be really stressing All For One out.
It's the most back foot you've ever seen All For One.
Yeah. It must be pissing him off at this stage. Like, he is in such dire straits right now. He is aging backwards. He is literally on a timer before he becomes a blob of cum.
Yeah, and it's not even about that, because he's like, oh yeah, this will be quick, no problem. But wait, is that motherfucker smiling? The fact that All Might is smiling right now, that's it. That's the only reason he's pissed.
Yeah.
And it's fucking great.
It's really good. I also, I Horikoshi's just pulled out. I'm so glad he did take that break, because everyone took the fucking break. I was genuinely at one point expecting... Okay, it just
and there's another break
typical.
Coming too. There's a holiday.
Oh, well, you know, good for them. Like, they deserve all the breaks they can and everything. Like,
yeah.
Like we've talked about, Horikoshi, you either need to take a break, take a proper, well-deserved break. I know you want to finish off your story, because, you know, you're still young, you still probably have plenty of fucking ideas.
At this point, fuck it, let's go to Christmas, because there's a movie coming out. Like, let's keep the promo going. Yep, oh, so okay, they announced movie 4.
Oh, okay, then. That'll be interesting.
Yep, and based on my contacts, I guess, basically, one of the things that we guessed, because we thought it'd be like Summer Vacation, they just forego the rest of the series and just do a kind of an epilogue for the movie, which would have been cool, but maybe that'll be movie 5.
I think an epilogue movie for My Hero Academia would be very good.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be that dead... We're not sure specifically, but it seems to be addressing the vigilante era. Not My Hero Vigilantes, but when Deku's a vigilante. We're not sure if this is when he's a vigilante or if this is that dead week right after he came back.
I would honestly love a vigilante Deku movie.
Because I think that's a great time period to do, because those assassins, like, there's still a lot of open space there to play with. Because I thought my first guess was that the Endeavor Agency, that's such a huge dead period that they had a lot to mine there that they never fully took advantage of. Because I thought they were just going to put all their movies there, but...
Because that's when World Hero Mission kind of comes in,
but they're doing the Dark Deku era, and I'm like, you know what? That's gonna be fucking sick.
That tells me
there's definitely gonna be a movie 5, because they're not gonna make that the last movie.
That'll be a weird one to do as well, though, because it feels like if they do that, they're not gonna be able to involve a lot of the main cast in the story, which I think would be better for Deku as a character.
It depends, but basically they said the trio again: Bakugo, Todoroki, Midoriya. You can't escape them, man.
It bothers me because it's like they make these films, and even though they say, oh, it's about the trio, because you even said World Heroes Mission, it should have been a road trip movie with the three boys, but ended up being.
Yeah, and it wasn't. They're just used for marketing, which I'm like, hey, now do that again. But, like, I hope it's before Deku comes back from UA, so Deku can just, like, be in the background and they can focus on the other UA students. That would be fucking sick.
Oh, that could be cool if it is about the other students. I mean, we both know, sadly, it's probably not going to be, but it would be very cool to have Deku sort of be like how you described Chainsaw Man in the previous part of Chainsaw Man being more like a cryptid that's running around.
Yeah, a cryptid that runs around. Yes, I kind of hope for that.
Like, if it's about the students, and then Deku, like, shows up towards the end to kind of, like, lay a smackdown on someone out of the blue or whatever, or to aid from, like, the distance or something, and you don't
that would
get
be so cool.
Yeah, just like, you know, the visage and the distance.
They did the fucking Yeezy-fied fucking costumes, and then those were only there for, like, 30 seconds, like... Why not just fucking market it with Vigilante Deku and then he barely shows up? That would be fucking sick.
Yeah. It'd be cool if Knuckle Duster was in the film.
Ah, he won't be if it's that era. Because some people were speculating that it was going to be... Because in the translations, rather, someone said Vigilantes. And some people were like, oh, fuck, is that what the Vigilante anime was supposed to be? But no, it's not going to... It's not going to be fucking Crawler and gang. Oh, wow. Maybe someday.
Maybe one day.
You're gonna run out of material eventually.
It's like what I want for One Piece. Like, for One Piece Film Red. Like, because, as you know, One Piece Film Red, I was so excited for that film. And then I had to accept at a certain point, oh, it is indeed going to be another Luffy movie. But I wanted, like, a Shanks film. I wanted a tried and true all the way through.
I know,
Shanks,
they're like, it's the year of Shanks and Film Red with a scar. I'm like, fuck you. My God.
But I still think that Film Red was pretty good in terms of stakes. I like Uta's whole
thing.
I think in terms of stakes, they actually got it pretty fucking right, actually. Like, it almost had like a scary cult-esque feel to it with the way that she was going about things. And I still enjoyed it, but I completely agree that it's not one of the better One Piece films. In fact, overall, it felt like the most rushed One Piece film, especially in terms of
animation. Oh, because they had a lineup with the release of that concert, or the album of whoever that...
Ado. Yeah, Ado. Really amazing singer, because we could both agree
the
songs.
Oh, yeah, she was good. Like,
she was amazing. I mean, like, I tell you, I remember talking to, when I was talking to Nami's voice actor at Birmingham Comic Con as well in November, when obviously I got the when I got the duck signed thing for Stina. We were talking about that, and she was like, "Oh yeah, it's really weird actually. I don't know if I ever brought this up, but she was saying how they got Amelie, who obviously voiced in My Dress Up Darling as the main character in that." And they really wanted to get her to do some of the songs, but apparently the, you know, Toei were like, no, you stick with the Ardo songs. But then, weirdly, every other country that did a dub of it used their own singers for the most part. Like, I believe the Mexican dub did their own version of it. And I was like,
because Toei fucking hates America.
I don't think it's that.
They legitimately
do. I think that Toei genuinely have more...
There's only 24 hours of the day to be a fucking bitch.
No, I think it is
so
more
many
that
countries.
Toei probably have more sway with Crunchyroll or Funimation,
I agree, yes.
whatever we call
it. I agree,
them now.
I agree too. Crunchyroll fucking bends the knees.
And
so
let's
hard
be honest,
Toei.
Like, you know, a big part of it is that obviously Ardo's involvement in it is a publicity thing, so there's probably contractual obligations with that. I don't know how other countries and their dubs are really handling stuff, or if even the Japanese or the core company of like all the animes that they do, whatever, even have input on those dubs. I think that the Japanese companies definitely have more input on the Western American dubs.
Yes, I agree. I absolutely agree with that.
So I don't. It's not just them being bitches, obviously. But it is a shame
they're
that
still bitches. They're still bitches.
Whatever. But I still think it was a weird thing, but we were discussing that for a bit, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm familiar with Amelie's work and all that stuff, and then obviously I got the duck print and went, and now it's in Stina's, wherever Stina's put it, hung it up somewhere, I assume. This was a fucking amazing chat. How the fuck did we even get onto this topic at one point? We were talking about My Hero Academia.
We were just talking about the movies, but we've already said enough about this.
Oh, yeah, that's
good,
right.
Good segue
that's,
but... into One Piece now, because One Piece 1089, banger.
We're back at fucking present day. Fuck yeah.
How big is this chapter?
It's fucking huge, isn't it? Even
it's
I was
all
like,
set up. It's all fucking set up, and it's fucking sick.
It's kind of nice because we're getting back to like it. I feel like it's really just saying, "Hey, we're back here. We're not in the past. We're not in the future, or whatever." Because I have like I keep on complaining every week. I had no fucking idea where the hell we were at one point.
Oh, it's also a massive "we're back" bitches.
It really is, and essentially the way this chapter starts is, all over the world, shit is popping off. Garp is reported missing in action. Obviously, the inhabitants of...
Coward, you didn't let him kill him.
Yeah, Fuchsia Village.
Garp's Luffy's a coward, he didn't die.
Fuchsia Village, Luffy's hometown, is obviously worried with the elder, the mayor of the town that Luffy lived in, and, you know, the banging barmaid, I forget her name, but, you know, she's been there from the very beginning, and her baby... in the East Blue, there are earthquakes. In the South Blues, there are tsunamis. And in the West Blue, there is just, like, loads of shit going on. Like, everything's just quaking. And everyone is feeling the effects of this weapon that Emu and the world government have used on the kingdom of Lucia.
It's causing the sea levels to rise. Like, some islands have just sunk.
Shit is fucked. And there is just a gigantic hole in the middle of the sea left by this weapon.
And the Marines are like, yep, this is okay. Let's keep going.
Hmm. And it's pretty fun. I mean, the Marines aren't like that. They're probably all fucking...
Kizaru's like, I'm just a cog in the machine. Okay, dude.
Oh yeah, but that's
little
you gotta remember.
Bitch.
You gotta remember that's Kizaru's justice, though. Kizaru views himself as just a cog, really. He does whatever the fuck they tell him. He's always been that way.
I know, that's why he's fucking lame.
I like Kizaru.
I think he's fucking sick.
Kizaru is sick. It's his lax demeanor to basically everything. And it also seems as though we are getting our real lineup of antagonists for the chapter with a bunch of
It feels like we're entering Act 3 and this is the setup. Like, all right, here's all the pieces. 30,000 Marines. Was it 9 admirals?
Nine vice admirals from the Marines and Kizaru, and then also, actually, there was also a nice bit with Sento Maru, and it was a nice flashback to the analyzation of Kizaru's ability and how all the Kumas get it, and he almost, like, this is the only time we've seen him like look like he's actually smiling and kind of legitimately happy doing something.
Like Kizaru just being chill as fuck. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically his natural state, but it seems in a more genuine way, as Sento Maru is kind of quite upset at the fact that Kizaru's coming to kill Vegapunk, and that's where obviously Kizaru comes in with the "I'm just a cog in the machine, you can't hold it against me, really." You know? It's a weird one. I mean, I've been thinking about this for the last couple days because I've been, like, rewatching One Piece again. My friend has finally gotten to Enies Lobby. And it is the whole thing where, like, you know in Ohara, where, like, everyone's getting killed by the Buster Call and stuff. And Kizaru's like, "Oh, fuck, we've gone too far." And then he's immediately like, "But I'm still going to do what they tell me." I think it really is just one of those things where most of the Marines are probably like, "Yeah, if we don't submit, we're just going to get killed, basically. And then we can't do fuck all." Because it is like that now. It's just 100% like that, isn't it? Like, I've known that for ages, but re-watching Ohara now, like, when I wasn't in high school and stuff, and probably half paying attention and watching in sub, it's just, fuck, man. It's so fucking relevant to what's going on now, obviously. And, we also have one of the... Oh, I also noticed that, like, when they call in the Buster Call, you know the guy with the long beard? I forget his name, but it's I want to say it's Mercury the Saint, the one with the long beard and mustache.
Shit, I don't know. Yeah, but what's up?
It's one of the Saints. He actually cries when he does the Buster Call, or he confirms the Buster Call on it.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, like, okay, are these guys gonna be like more divided than we think they are, actually?
Oh, I've been, for
the last couple, like, months,
it's
I have been super interested in the Five Star Saints and how they are going to, like, affect the story, like, who they are as actual characters when they get down to it. Because I'm like, are some of them going to be, like, more like the Marines, where some of them are like, "No, this is how I'm doing things," because some of them are like, "Eh, whatever the world government tell me, I'm just gonna fucking do it." Or are some of them genuinely fucked up people? It's really interesting to me. So then we get back to Vega Punk York and talking to the Five Star Elders. The one on the ship, the ones back at Marijoire, as they're making their deal. She wants to be a celestial dragon. She wants to get off the island safely because, well, you can kill all the Vegapunks you want, but as long as she's left, she'll be able to do whatever the fuck they want, and she is fine with that. And then she ends off for her demands with the very last bit. Now you need to, there's just one thing I need you to do. And this honestly surprised me. It really surprised me that Oda did this, because we don't often see him do this. So, York says, "My last condition is, save me! Straw Hat Luffy is here and he's going to kill me!" As we then jump to York on the ground, with the Dendenmushi being held to her face, all the crew just surrounding her, Nami's even packing heat, and they seem to be enjoying a feast of waffles, chicken, and burgers, whatever the fuck they have, burgers, whatever
pizza.
The hell. Pizza, yeah, it's
turkey
everything.
Leg from Epcot, yeah. It's just a fucking feast for everyone.
It's
this
just a feast for everyone.
This is fucking sick!
It is. It really is, because we haven't
seen... Lucci pretend like he's part of the fucking team right now.
Yeah, because we haven't seen the crew all together for
Follows
a little bit.
Little
I mean,
bitch, let's go!
I don't see Robin here. I'm wondering where Robin is.
Yeah, everyone's
I assume
noting that Robin's missing. Robin's doing something actually important.
Yeah, I mean, Sanji is probably bringing the fucking waffles, whatever the hell that is he's got stacked on there, to Robin, let's be honest. Because Nami seems preoccupied. But it's kind of weird, because we don't see this happen very often where the crew just sort of... Because one moment, the crew were pretty spread out. Now that we've had, like, this backstory bit, it seems as though Oda is practicing in, like, you know, saving time a bit. And rather than going through this whole side tangent that we've been on, that has been, you know, like I've said, for the past couple weeks, months, mixed for the most part. Some great bits, but it's been mixed. And suddenly, boom, the Straw Hats are all together. They're right where they need to be. They're intercepting one of the major threats. Vegapunk's fine and everything. This doesn't happen very often, does it? There is usually a big, like, hubbub, like, lead up to them coming together like this, isn't there?
Right. I think the hubbub was all that setup earlier. Like, we went through
but
it. But how much you want to fucking bet, though, that next chapter, we then go, this is just in media res, and then we go to how they
all met. Oh, you're cutting out a bit, my man. Say that again.
I said that, would it be funny if next chapter, we then, this what we just saw was just in media res, and now we have to see how they all ended up back together?
That'd be kind of annoying.
I'm just fucking, it's not gonna happen, but...
I hope not, because it's one of those things where... I'm at two odds. On one hand, it's like Oda doing these side tangents and then foregoing the whole, like, oh, this is like the whole actual lead up to how they got here and she got there and all that stuff. You know, it's kind of nice. But it reminds me that, like, Oda does in fact want to wrap up this story in like, you know, as soon as possible. While also
I think we're in for a long Act 3 right now.
I hope, like, it may be another 10 years. It may be another 10 years for all we know. I don't think
But the way this chapter is set up for most series, this would be, like, the beginning of the end. Right?
True.
The way this is looking, let's say One Piece was, like, at the bottom of the rankings for some reason, like a certain Fabricate 100 that I refuse to acknowledge is struggling right now.
I was about to say, like,
that's
I
the next
you
thing
were
we're gonna talk about.
Safe.
But I just want to say that One Piece could end in like 20 chapters if it needed to. If something went horribly wrong, it could end in like 20 chapters.
Well,
right
Oda decides that's it. Egghead is somehow.
This
the,
is the finale. The... Fuck. What's
Fuck Laugh Tale.
Fuck Laugh Tale. No, Laugh Tale. Where's the Island of the Giants?
Oh, no, you can't say fuck Elbaf. You can't say
Elbaf.
Fuck Elbaf.
Fuck Elbaf. I mean, you can fuck Laugh Tale, but you can't fuck Elbaf, right?
You can't. Dude, we've been waiting too long to see the Land of the Giants. It can't happen.
We did see it. That's where Kid's grave is. That's where they buried the worst character.
No, I don't even know if Kid is. It's weird. For some reason, I've also been thinking about Kid lately, and I've, like, softened to him for whatever reason. He's still fucking trash,
weak.
But it's like, I feel bad that he's trash because it's not his fault. Does that make
fault.
Sense?
Because he picks up
no.
fight with Shanks like a dumbass.
No, why did Oda set him up to be, like, a rival to Luffy? He's basically Luffy's fucking, He's basically Luffy's Silver. He even has red hair, for fuck's sake. It's fucked. This was a good chapter. We gotta catch up with quite a few people. I am quite certain as well that this is going to be where Kizaru probably goes, or maybe this 5-star elder. We'll have to see. It's interesting that they might be on the offensive like that. We'll see what's going on, because, like, I'm genuinely excited to see what's coming up next, and, let's just hope that there's not a goddamn, there it is. Break next week. Okay. Ivan?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you genuinely, like, cut out there.
I didn't cut out. I'm just zoning out. Guys, I gotta be real with you. I'm fucking exhausted. the house shit's really getting to me.
Well,
I had a moment. My eyes went like fucking, like a doll's eyes.
Do you wanna talk about Chainsaw Man at all? Or did we already cover Chainsaw Man the other week? Because I know it's still on break.
Oh, we already covered what we need to cover so far. We're good.
Yeah.
It was just the what was it, the pop off? Because it was last week. People already meet me on the next thing already, but just like in brief, crazy chick, they go to karaoke, and we have a very in character Fujimoto moment where everything just pops off for no reason that won't be explained until the next chapter.
Yeah.
We're just a hallway full of Denji has an old boy scene.
Pretty
Fujimoto
much, yeah.
Continues to be a cinephile. We get
I was gonna say, like, obviously.
Who's that band? Who's the band that he referenced? What was the reference? He straight up did the song.
I'm only familiar with that song. I don't know the actual band, but they're fairly.
I can look it up real quick.
Yeah.
Choo-choo, lovely Mooney Mooney. Yeah, from.
Yeah.
Who's the band though?
I don't know. I'm only familiar with the song because it's kind of a famous song.
Maximum the more hormone.
Ah, okay.
So if I'm Maximum the Hormone's agent, I'm like increasing the prices on residuals right now. for when the anime inevitably has to go to this scene.
Obviously, like, you know, I'm that robot.
Mappa will just play a fucking OP. One of the
I am that robot in the Sonic the comic that like pins down the sign saying no fun allowed, and I'm like, what does it fucking mean? Why was this even happening? Is this progressing the plot? I'm sure, like you said, I'm sure it'll fucking explain why things are happening next chapter.
It was
and
fun.
Again, it's my I want to see the plot progress, like, really like,
we're getting there.
I want both with Chainsaw Man. I want the plot to progress, and I want Denji to progress sometimes, or Asa to progress, whoever the fuck the focal point of the chapter is, whenever the fuck Fujimoto feels like it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but like, it's fine. It looks great. It's pretty funny. It's, yeah, but we're not going anywhere.
Right.
It's a slow moving train right now. Let's talk
he's
about.
He's milking it.
Let's talk about Icehead Gill, which I'm.
Okay,
reading.
Let's talk about the newbies. I'm gonna say honestly, audience? I know you can't physically respond to us, but I think you're feeling the same we are about JoJo Lands. That it's pretty underwhelming right now. Because we teased we're going to do it. Val and I just caught up on it before the podcast. And
I did. Like, I only read chapter 2 and then I was like, shit.
Oh, so you didn't read them all.
I did not read the final one. Tell me about the final one because I'm going to give it a read anyway.
Nothing. They got attacked in the woods by that string that they keep getting attacked
by. The cat. Oh, okay.
The cats.
Okay, then.
Yeah, you're not missing out. It's long. Nothing's really happening because it's a very slow setup burn right now. So I'm going to need to check back in like a year.
Yeah, I mean,
JoJo Lands is something you need to read in volumes.
Give it at least 3 years or something, Ivan, because I guarantee, like, I'm pretty sure Hirohiko Araki has basically decided every time I start a series, I'm going to take 10 years to finish it.
Yeah, basically, but
like, I do not believe that. What's it called? God, it's JoJo Leon. Was a 10-year long manga. I don't think it was worth the 10 years waited to finish it, to be honest. Because
right.
So much shit in JoJolion could have just not happened. And it would have been fine, in my opinion. Gah. I need
okay.
A... God, JoJolion. Anyway, do you want to tell me about Fabricant 100? What's going on?
What's going on is, so remember when we talked about how we had narrowly avoided the axe with kind of a check-in fight?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's happening again, and this time it's with Fabricant 99, and this guy's being set up as, like, the super Fabricant that somehow is contrived better than 100, even though it's the lesser. Like, this, and Fabricant 1 is there, so either Fabricant 1 is, like, a Robotnik figure who's just gonna be there for every fight, gonna throw his latest Fabricant at them, or, more realistically, this is probably the end in a few chapters. Because the last arc was kind of a wet fart.
Oh, I thought it was going quite well.
It was going quite well until it ended. It fizzled. And so, like, all right, I need to, like, look into the sales and the rankings right now. And, yeah, Fabricant 100 is not doing well in Japan. I did win an award because it's solid. I'm not going to make any speculations on the volume sales because no one gave me any hard numbers on it. But I can't imagine it's doing any better than Ichinose Family's Original Sins. Which
How's that doing?
It's selling. Its volumes are selling very well. So I think that warrants, I think it will eventually finish, but it's ranking very low on the main magazine. Like, week to week, no one's reading it, but when the volumes come out, people are buying it. So it's in a very complicated situation.
Okay.
Like on Facebook, it's complicated with Ichinose. But I think it's very fair, though. Because we talked about the last time we ever did like a really deep dive into Ichinose, I talked about how it was like every week there's a new twist every week to the point where it was becoming groan worthy.
Really?
So it's fine, but I think Ichinose Family's Original Sins is not going to get 100 chapters, but it is going to like, I think they're going to start sensing an endgame very soon, and they're going to try to go up on top as they can in regards to volume sales. But Fabricate 100, it's going. All the signs are in the air right now, and it's very unfortunate. If it somehow survives this current arc that it's currently in, that would be a major surprise, and it would be carried by apparently its award-worthy status.
I mean, I
But the sales don't seem to be good, and the ranking is awful. It's not doing as bad as Do Retry. Do Retry, it looks like it's done.
Oh, really?
Do Retry had, like, some kind of, like, I haven't actually read it, but someone said they did something of, like, a soft time skip, and they're only, like, what, 6 chapters in? It's
really?
Gonna go really quick. One sec. Let me double check.
It's
how
13
many
chapters in.
13 chapters. Yeah, that one's going out 18. That's gonna be 18 chapters and out. I know that for a fact.
Oh, wow. They really have done some kind of time skip. It seems.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it, we're out. Which is a damn shame. So that's strike number 2 for that mangaka. But he improved greatly. So I can't wait for number 3. If he doesn't get shoved into the edutainment magazine like all the other guys we like.
It does look like his art's improved a lot, actually, like the expressiveness of
if you look at a couple chapters, it's better than Bone Collection, but there's a couple chapters where they look fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like he's having a tough time. I feel for him because I think he was greatly improved. I really like what I saw here, but it couldn't keep people's attention. I think they're gonna settle on Martial Master Matsumi as their martial arts, their sports manga for now.
Any word on how Gil's doing?
Gil?
Only 5 chapters in,
also but... very underwhelming. People are very underwhelmed by Gil, but that's not a surprise.
That's fair enough. I'm still kind of enjoying Gil.
It's slow, it's underwhelming, but like I said, the art's cute, the story's nice. It's just too slow. It's too slow for people, and Euro fantasy just struggles in Japan. Mm. On Jump. Not in manga, but just Jump specifically. It struggles.
Yeah. I mean, the new
Matsumi is doing... I like what Matsumi is doing, though.
Oh, that's fair. I was gonna say that the two newest chapters of Gil, because at one point, I think last week, I was just... I think I was reading Gil while I was camping, and then it was just like, oh, the boys are playing cricket. Yeah, let's play fucking cricket. I ended up doing that, and I didn't finish the chapter, so I finished that. And basically, Gil defeats this blind dude who, they had some kind of cool explanation, actually. Essentially, after this guy got beaten by Drekki, he went into this forest that's so encapsulated by darkness that there's, like, a tribe of people that have learned purely to hunt via sound and smell. So he goes there, trains, and then kills everyone, thus adding to his evil, I guess. It's expositional, sure, but, you know, it's fine. It's an explanation of, like, who this villain that'll probably never appear again because of what happens to him next happens. Gil defeats him, and then suddenly, as he's about to get up, because he's not really defeated, he gets stabbed through the chest, and there is this skeletal child from behind the tree that decides to take over his body, and it turns out this skeletal child has a legion of liches in the forest following behind him as he takes over this body and uses this individual's accumulated knowledge of battle and everything to continue the fight with Gil, because he apparently knows who Gil's father is. So I think that the complaint of it moving quite slowly is definitely being remedied by the author, it seems, as, you know, this new lich taking over the body and everything, kill some of his lichy subjects because he's... I think they're trying to set up a, what's the word? What's the word for, like, your complete opposite? Yeah, just an opposite. Fuck, what's the word? Yeah, a foil of some kind. For, Gil. Because this guy is, like, slashes down his ally who's, like, praising him. And, like, being like, oh, I'll do this for you because I've been your servant since before I became a lich. And he's just like, fuck you, being pathetic is your job because you're my servant. And Gil is just, like, trying to fight him as best he can. The art's really good. It's kind of cool having, like, you know, all of these techniques being thrown out with the aid of, like, this lich army. And, this lich child's backstory seems to be that, his family are the true rulers of this land. And the current king is, you know, a despot. He kind of did away with them and then took the throne for himself. So that's kind of interesting as to whether or not this character becomes relevant later on, because they basically say to Gil, if you beat me, I'll tell you all about your dad and where he is. Because Gil's starting to worry, hey, did my dad get taken over? Or it's probably been his main concern. Did my dad get taken over by a lich? Is that why he's obviously the way he's gone, killing the king? Or, you know, attacking the king, whatever the fuck happened, and all that. And the chapter basically ends with Sana, the girl that Gil met a few chapters ago, who likes books and everything, helping out, and she has some kind of magical item that helps kill liches or something, or at least fucks them up. Yeah. It's fine, still. I definitely... There's this guy who's just on the sidelines that they literally just call Mister. He doesn't even have a name. And this dude is straight up like, I'm willing to die and fight by Gil's side. Dude, you don't even have a name. Who the fuck are you? Like, this is nice and all. Are you gonna be like a... Yeah, are you gonna be like a character in the greatest story? Because I'd be fine with that. Or whatever. You look kind of cool and okay. But yeah. There are definitely still, like, issues with it. Not even outstanding issues, but things that just aren't quite bringing Gil to the potential that I feel it does have, personally. But I'm still enjoying it, and I'm hoping it can keep going and pick up in sales. But if this becomes
With Fabric at 100 going, I'm gonna have to root for Icehead Gil.
If this becomes my Red Hood, then I'm just gonna have to accept that. Actually,
no,
wait,
you
already,
can't be a bigger man than me.
I already have my Red
Come
Hood,
on, let's
though.
See some tears.
I already have my Red Hood go. It's though it's called Golem Hearts.
That's true. But yeah. That came out before you even aware of it.
I know, but it's still...
Because Golem Hearts is my Red Hood as well.
It's everyone. It's all of our Red...
That's
it's
the one we agree on. I was like, why the fuck did this get fucking canceled? This was
yeah,
cute.
It's
why did
cute
they have to do
fuck.
Dodoron? I mean, I know why, because Demon Slayer, and we all have to do the same fucking thing. That's why Nui's Exorcist... So that's the thing I forgot to mention. Nui's Exorcist is apparently doing very well.
Nui's Exorcist, what's that?
That's what I talked about, where, like, nothing is happening.
Nui's Exorcist? What the fuck
the
was
dude,
that?
The dude just... There's just tits flying everywhere. The art's very good.
I mean, tits flying everywhere.
It's just so jump. I understand why it's doing well. Because it's the most bare bones basic thing.
Isn't Nui's Exorcist also by a guy who did something that, like, just did awfully at one point?
I don't remember. I don't recall anything about this guy. I think he's a newcomer.
Oh, fair enough. You know, I hope the guy that did, that manga that I quite liked with, the psychic woman, and we thought it was gonna go to, oh, it's about a guy raising, like, a superpowered baby against, like,
Earth Child.
That ended super quickly.
That was a fucking supernova. That was a shooting star, a firework of a mega. That was never gonna last long. That was Shonen Jump going, hey, these webtoons are real popular. Maybe we could do a webtoon. And boy, was that a webtoon.
I still think that the first chapter's romance was actually, like, okay.
It was solid. It was a good time. No, I have very fond memories of Earthchild.
Ivan, are things going to get like so mediocre with like Shonen Jump manga that you and I are going to be opining like a few months ago when we were reading things that we initially dismissed?
I swear to God, hold me to this, guys. The show's canceled. If I start looking back on Dororon, Dororon fondly, you cancel this fucking show. Because we're kind of getting there, I'm not gonna lie.
It's like, I'm just
joking though, because Tenmaku Cinema, that one is gonna end too, but not because it's okay. It's not really that well received, but because it's from the creators of Food Wars, it's basically got a lot of goodwill from
the offices. I keep forgetting
that they're gonna let them finish that movie.
I honestly keep forgetting that it's by the creator of Food Wars. There is nothing about it that reminds me of Food Wars whenever I see it.
Really? Because the art very much reminds me of it.
You know, I think it's because I'm not that familiar with food. Like, I remember people showing me it, and I was like, I just can't get into this. It's just about people cooking, and the stakes are, you know, they act like the stakes are so high. I know that's the joke, but I just wasn't into it. And I look at the cover even, and I'm like, it reminds me nothing of Food Wars or anything.
It was one of those things that just had, like, a huge beginning, and then it just petered the fuck out. Like, the concept really grabbed people, but it just could not maintain interest. It was like, okay, the novelty wore off very quickly for people.
I feel like it might be a degree of the more fantastical design of the ghost writer and everything.
And the funny thing is that they really don't capitalize on that. That's my only beef with this, because it's one of my favorites. Like, it's the one I continue to actively read weekly. Yeah. I really enjoy it, and based on what I'm hearing the discourse of, people are feeling a bit underwhelmed by it, which I'm like, understandable. It's very technical. It's not the most exciting thing, like Nui's Exorcist, where there's fucking tits flying everywhere.
It's film production. Film production is not very. It's cool. Not. It's not. It's cool.
It's not interesting.
It's not, it's interesting. It's just
not for, like, Jump. Not for kids. Not for teenagers who read Jump. It's not.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like, for you and I, like, you know,
they
want to
read
Nui's
Exorcist.
I've worked in media. I've done fucking, like, you know, shoots and everything and filming and shit, script writing, storyboard. I've done all of it. But it's not, like you said, it's not very interesting for a teenager, I assume. You know, I'm surprised it's still going and seemingly doing well. Cypher Academy.
That's not true. Cypher Academy's actually struggling right now.
Cause it's on 34 chapters, and, like, you know,
but 34 is another. You get to 18, then your next mark is the 30s.
That's fair.
Struggling. It's one of those times where the American audience are definitely actually making a decision, like actually impacting reception.
It does not
translate well to the States at all. So you're getting almost like a zero readership from abroad.
That is a question, Ivan. You're a writer, and I know you're very passionate and confident in your work. How long do you think your series would last if you made a Shonen Jump manga?
That depends. I would say mine's a little bit slow to start. All I can guarantee, because I don't want to be cocky when it comes to this, one of the most merciless, toughest magazines to fucking hang on. We have to assert that whenever I'm fucking critiquing that, it's because the fucking editors at Jump are exponentially worse than I am. That is a tough fucking magazine, and I don't want to pretend like I could even fucking make it. But let's say
your editor you in a cafe. It's like,
If I made it to Jump Plus, Val,
yeah,
I'd go to completion.
Yeah.
Jump Plus is a very merciful magazine. And they love to develop. They love to see things through. If I was on the main magazine, I wouldn't do as bad as Bone Collection. I know that much. I wouldn't be as bad as Bone Collection.
Yeah. Like, we're just saying, like, you're the writer. You've got your team and everything. You don't have to worry about that too much, except for, like, overseeing it to some degree. Like, you know, that's all good. You think, like, but, like, give me a note. Do you think you make it to the 18s, the 30s?
I think I could make it to the 30s, and I think basically what happens, I think I could get to the 30s, and I would have the abroad audience on my side, but it wouldn't sell as well in Japan. Because my take would be too based. only med students in Japan, basically like Tezuka fucking disciples and med students in Japan would like
a fan of blackjack.
Yeah, like blood. Yeah, you know what? Blackjack fans would like paramedic.
Yeah.
But again, basically fucking like old school fucking manga nerds would like it, but like kids today, I don't think kids today would really like paramedic.
That's fair.
But again, Japanese kids who decide things on Jump. I think in the States, people would, if paramedic was on Jump and it got onto Viz Media and Jump Plus, people in the States would eat it the fuck up because it's based like marriage toxin is, where it's like things you, because I wrote paramedic to be like, hey, what don't they do on Jump? I'm gonna do things that you would never, that would never fly on Jump, and that's what marriage toxin is currently. And I'm just like, yeah, if I was on Jump Plus, I bet I could fucking take that shit.
I forget what is marriage toxin about again.
Marriage Toxin is just, it's about assassins, and it's about one assassin whose sister is, again, things you don't see on the main magazine, is clearly a lesbian, and they have to marry her off because it's all about bloodlines.
And the guy and she, is like, I will marry someone.
I will marry someone, I will continue the bloodline. And his whole goal, it's Spike's family, but instead of them just immediately going to marriage, it's all about the fucking chase, baby. It's about him finding one true love, and every arc, a new best girl is introduced, and it's fucking amazing.
I might have to read it, yeah.
No, not might. You must read it. I turn everyone that I've turned on this magazine, on this fucking series, fucking loves it.
Yeah, no, I remember reading the first. I didn't read it. I skimmed it when you were explaining it to me, and I thought the art was fucking great.
It is. No, everything across the board of this series is great, and that's why it's doing so well.
Fuck yeah.
And it's Jump Plus, so like it's gonna go to the distance.
Hmm. What are the stakes, though?
The stakes are they're gonna fucking shove a fucking turkey baster up his fucking sister if he doesn't fucking get married soon. And also, everyone's a fucking assassin trying to kill him.
Okay, then.
And his family. Like, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of internal family politics. So even family members are trying to fucking off each other. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, whoever fucking breeds first gets to fucking take over the fucking family.
Kind of like where, I believe, at least Demons of the Underworld is kind of going.
Yeah, again, there's plenty of stakes, and even then, more than stakes, Val, it's just fucking fun. It's just fucking fun.
That's something that we forgot to check up on, actually, because there were new chapters released of Yomi no Tsugai.
Yomi no Tsugai? Let's save that for next week, because we're at our limit right now.
Yeah, I believe there
is. I'm beyond my limit. Guys, I am still very tired from the house situation. Like I said, it's been bought, but it's all renovations now, so... First it was mental exhaustion, now it is physical exhaustion. But again, basically, like, episodes might be of this podcast might be a little short for the preceding month, but once we're all fucking settled in, we'll be back to normal. But
yeah,
until
next
then,
next week we're definitely going to talk about Yomi no Tsugai chapters 16 to 18.
Excellent. Let's fucking do it. Yeah. Until then, guys, take care. We'll see you next time.
Ta-ta.
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.